The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. You're listening to NCRS, and this is Connect to Success. I am Shadate Hargett Hill, your hometown girl, and for the next half hour, I will be reading you stories of inspiration, education, all hoping to bring you to your own Connect to Success, your own success. We'll be having stories from NLS.com, APH.com, and Hadley.com. Again, we hope you will connect to your own success. Let's get started with 57 years after leaving Capitol Hill, NLS is returning home. This is from the NLS.com. Very good. A half-mile walk up Georgia Avenue from the Pentworth Metro Station to 1291 Taylor Street in Northwest Washington, D.C., takes you through a diverse neighborhood defined by both the old and the new. The bright red Zion Hill Baptist Church, built in 1911, is still there, but you'll also pass a 64,000-square-foot Safeway that's nearly three times the size of the 50-year-old grocery store it replaced in 2014. Above it, a 218-unit apartment building. Across the street, a new Instagram-friendly neighborhood bar and an Ethiopian takeout restaurant. A century-old row house hosts the performance space for Hispanic theater company Teatro de la Luna. But at the corner of Taylor Street is an organic market that opened in 2009 with more apartments above. Look to the left after you turn and you'll see a colorful public art mural painted in 2013 on the side wall of a neighborhood grocery. Generations of National Library Service for the Blind and Print Disabled, NLS, staff members who have worked at the former local government building at 1291 Taylor Street since 1967 have seen a lot of changes on these blocks. And now another change is coming to the neighborhood. After 57 years, NLS is going back home to Capitol Hill. The program's new offices will be on the third floor of the Library of Congress John Adams Building, one floor below the space that housed most of its staff members before the move to Petworth. Returning to Capitol Hill has many advantages for NLS. The money was saved long-term by being back in the library building instead of in rented space 5 miles away, can be reinvested in service to our patrons, materials, and improved content delivery, says NLS Director Jason Brockton. Working on Capitol Hill will also give NLS staff members more opportunities to take part in programs and collaborate with their colleagues across the library. And the central location will make it easier for NLS to work with consumer groups and federal agencies that serve similar audiences and to engage with appropriators and other members of Congress. And I know some folks would just be happy to have more choices for lunch and after-work get-togethers, Broughton says with a laugh. NLS had long been in discussions with Library of Congress leadership, Congress, and the architect of the Capitol about relocating from Petworth to the main library campus or other government-owned properties near Capitol Hill. Still, the news that the move was actually happening came as something of a shock. I've been hearing about a move almost from the day I started at NLS, says Alice O'Reilly, chief of the NLS Collections Division. After 20 years, I'm looking forward to finally getting to participate in all the exciting things happening on Capitol Hill. Moving NLS is more than a matter of relocating its 120 staff members. The basement at 1291 Taylor Street holds 90 years worth of NLS circulating materials, Braille books, records, cassettes, and digital cartridges. Recently rediscovered in the collection, a near pristine set of the very first talking books on 33.5 RP records made for NLS by the American Foundation for the Blind in 1934. There are also shipping and receiving facilities. engineering labs for developing and testing NLS equipment, and an in-house recording studio initially built in 1971 with funds from a bequest by John Knight, a noted stage and radio actor who was one of the first talking book narrators. It's a massive undertaking, says NLS Deputy Director Jason Yasner. We have staff, collections, and equipment that need to find space on the Capitol Hill campus, and this requires a careful coordination of many library stakeholders. That said, we couldn't be more pleased to be coming home and reintegrating with the rest of the library. This move is taking place in stages, beginning with the director's office that started in February. It's scheduled to be completed by the end of the summer in time for NLS to host the biannual National Conference of Libraries serving blind and print disabled individuals in September. What was then known as the Library's Division for the Blind and Physically Handicapped moved to 1291 Taylor Street after Congress expanded its mission to include serving people with disabilities who cannot hold or turn the pages of a book. This was said in 1966. We are screaming for space. An item in a December 1966 issue of the program's newsletter said, and with the expansion of the program and the resulting growth of staff and equipment, it became all too necessary. The move more than doubled the space available to the division, which at the time also served as DC's Braille and Talking Book Library, now located downtown at the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Library. It also put the program under one roof. While most of the staff members worked in the Adams Building, the administrative officers were across the street in the historic Jefferson Building. The NLS lot on Taylor Street was originally occupied by the American Ice Company. According to the property owner, after the company closed, its building was demolished and replaced in 1960 by the current one. DC's Department of Human Services, DHS, was its first occupant before it moved up the block in 1966. While the block may not have the cachet of Capitol Hill, it has a storied place in DC's cultural history. According to the property owner, the building now occupied by DHS was a popular bowling area, alley, and one of the first commercial buildings in Washington to have air conditioning. And from 1975 to 1990, what's now the Vet Center around the corner from NLS was home to the clubhouse, an after-hours dance club founded by black members of DC's LGBTQ and community. A post on the DC History Center's website says the clubhouse attracted stars such as Patti LaBelle at one point and had 4,000 members. There's a lot that I'll miss about this neighborhood at this building, said Brockton, who has often made that walk from the metro station up Georgia Avenue. But it's the people who work here who make NLS what it is, not the address. I'm looking forward to carrying on our mission in the Adams Building. Now, despite the distractions, NLS work goes on. Even as it plans and as executes a complex move to Capitol Hill, NLS isn't letting up on its modernization efforts, including developing new talking book playback divisions, expanding digital Braille, and upgrading BARD, its Braille and audio reading download online service, in the 2024 fiscal year. What they're saying is NLS continues to build on its holistic suite of services centered around BARD, our Braille e-reader, and the next generation of enhanced talking book players, Director Jason Broughton says. We will also continue to expand our collection, find new and improved ways to serve our patrons, and reach new audiences. These are some of the goals NLS is working toward in the current fiscal year. One, they increased the number of patrons by 2% over the FY23 end-of-year level. One way NLS is doing this is by stepping up its partnership with the Department of Veterans Affairs to rapidly enroll eligible veterans as soon as possible. Two, they're expanding the portfolio of digital talking book playback options, including a new digital talking book player, an Amazon smart speaker app, and enhancements to Bard Express and program that allows PC users to download, organize, and transfer digital books and magazines to talking book players. Number three, increase the number of Braille books in the NLS collection. Currently, Braille books make up about 15% of the collection. The goal is to increase that to 20%. And number four, increase patron usage of Bard by 5%. A new version of Bard planned for release later this year will support that goal. Number five, increase outreach, assistive technology, training, and educational programs to reduce patron attrition. One way NLS is doing that is with its month Many Faces of Bard and quarterly Patron Corner online programs. NLS sits at the precipice of an exciting future, Broughton says. We are innovating our identity staff and capabilities and services to meet blind and print disabled patrons where they are into the 21st century. Now, something to look forward to, America's Field Trip Contest seeks entries. This is for everyone. Listen up. If you're a student in grades 3 through 12, you can enter a contest celebrating the nation's 250th birthday coming up in 2026 by sharing your perspective on what America means to you. Contest winners will go on unforgettable field trips to some of the nation's iconic, historic, and cultural landmarks, including the Library of Congress. Entries responding to the question, "What does America mean to you?" can be in the form of artwork, videos, or essays. A parent or legal guardian or teacher with parental permission must submit entries on or behalf of the students under 18. The entry deadline is May 17th. The deadline again is May 17th. Find out more at America250.org. That's America250.org. Now, more. Helen Keller in Her Story has been added to the National Film Registry. Helen Keller in Her Story was among 250 films added to the Library of Congress National Film Registry this year. And the Academy Award-winning documentary from 1954 uses new footage, photographs, interviews, and original sequences to tell the story of Helen Keller from her birth in 1880 to her early 70s. Keller died in 1968 at the age of 87. Now, NLS produces first Braille copy of Library Strategic Plan. On February 6th, Director Jason Broughton and other NLS staff members presented Library of Congress Carla Hayden with a Braille copy of A Library for All, FY 2024 through 2028 Strategic Plan of the Library of Congress. The document was produced by NLS Information Services Section in partnership with the Library's Office of Strategic Planning and Performance Management. It's the first time the Library's Strategic Plan has been produced in Braille. How cool is that? And before we continue with more from the NLS.com and what they're doing with their move, let's take a break for blindness and vision disabilities at the HPH.com website. This is just an interesting little tidbit that one of the students wrote. Her name is Aisha, and she thought this was very interesting. So this is what she wrote. Quick things you need to know. All books should be blind inclusive, but particularly ones that profit off blind characters. Look for tactile sensory elements and or great text that kids can enjoy without illustrations. It's always seemed weird to me that our authors will make books about blind people without centering their experiences. In the deaf community, there's a term called deaf gain as an anti-ableist alternative to hearing loss. I've been keeping an eye out to see if there is a similar thing in the blind community, but haven't found anything yet. Not all blind folks use white canes and look blind. Many use Instagram and phone screens, etc. Most people are not full blind, but partially, the same way you can be culturally deaf, but still use limited hearing. So that makes representing blind folks in illustrations tricky. Many don't look like stereotypes. For these books, I'm only including characters who are explicitly blind or have vision disabilities or presented with recognizable signifiers, such as white canes. This is all information that I think is cool for you to know. Also, in January 2020, now that I'm doing research in stories from that time featuring older adults, I'm finding more issues regarding ableism on visual disabilities intersecting with ageism. So that's a thing that we should explore more going forward. I want a book about Barbara Beskind, blind product designer. That would be so cool. And some libraries host a multi-sensory story time. I really want to boost those when we get to the Radical Cartographio project, which is upcoming. And again, this comes from Aisha talking about blindness and visual disabilities from the APH.com. She wanted these things for other people to know about reading and people who are blind and print impaired. Other information on the APH.com website. This one is free Braille book resources for visually impaired children. It's not exactly a secret, and this is by Ball's Ballroom, and they're talking about different subjects about books for children who are visually impaired. And this article, again, is free Braille book resources for visually impaired, and it's written by Janelle, and she's a wife, a stay-at-home mom, master grilled cheese sandwich maker, math geek, and lover of all things chocolate. So here we go. She says, "It's not exactly a secret that I love books. It seems like I'm constantly running out of shelf space to house the newest books we've collected. Once E was born, I knew I wanted her and her brother R to love books as much as I do. So when E was little and we weren't sure which kind of books for her to read and to place on her reader, she would be print, large, print, braille, or a combination. Should it be either of those? I knew that we needed to start collecting Braille books as well as print books. I was overjoyed to find out that there are many sources of Braille books for children, and that many of these sources include free books for visually impaired and blind children. After all, the only thing better than a new book is a new free book, right? It says, does my low vision child need Braille books? As it turns out, E's vision has improved enough that she is primarily a print reader. However, we are still teaching her Braille for a couple of reasons. One, her vision may deteriorate as she gets older, as this is significant risk with anhedonia. Two, visual fatigue, because a significant issue as the reading load grows heavier, Braille would give her eyes a break. Three, studies have shown that over 70% of legally blind adults are not employed full-time as adults. However, in one study, only 44% of those that read Braille were unemployed. Here's a direct quote regarding that study. In a comparison between two groups of blind people, one consisting of Braille readers and the other of print readers, the study revealed that those who were taught Braille from the beginning had higher employment rates, were better educated and more financially self-sufficient, and spent more time engaged in leisure and other reading than the print users. That came from a quote from Rouse in 1996 as a study. She said, these facts have stuck with me, so I have wanted E to learn Braille to ensure that we aren't limiting her future opportunities. Why collect Braille books at home? Well, you may be thinking, but our school system says our child won't need to learn Braille. He can read large print instead. Or our child's vision is stable and won't need Braille. Or, but I don't know Braille, so I can't help my child read a Braille book. My recommendation would be to look into these free resources anyway. Here's a few reasons. Many of these free books, especially for young children, are print braille and picture braille books, which means that they have the same print and pictures as typical print books, but they have a braille overlay added. As such, everybody in the family can enjoy them. Some of the books are print braille books, so they don't have pictures. However, many of those have tactile drawings added to them, and often the print is as much larger print than in typical print braille picture books, making it easier when your low vision child is ready to read the print. Exposure to braille will absolutely not hurt your child or even a normally sighted child and may help them later on. Some of these resources provided basic introduction to braille for sighted people, so you can learn at least the basics with your child. Most importantly, the biggest predictor of a child's academic success has been scientifically studied, and the answer is simply the presence of books in the home. According to the multiple articles, it says, quote, regardless of nationality, level of education, or their parents' economic status, children who grew up with books in their homes reached a higher level of education than those who did not, end quote. And the more books they have, the greater the benefit. Given that a low vision child has additional obstacles to overcome, it seems to reason that providing them with as many books as possible can only benefit them. Free resources for Braille books. Seedlings Book Angel Project and Adopt a Reader Program. Seedlings is one of my absolute favorite sources for Braille books. Through their Book Angel Project, visual impaired children in the U.S. can sign up for 3 books every year. All you need to do is go to their website, choose 4 books that you are interested in for your child, and they will send you 3 of those books at some point in the coming months. Sometimes they offer yet another book, 5 or 6 books to a child in the state of Michigan at Christmas time and other states. Seedling also has an Adopt a Reader program for VI children in Michigan, Illinois, and Ohio, and some in North Carolina, I found out. You simply fill out this form, attach a picture of your child, and send it back to Seedlings via email or snail mail. As soon as they catch a match, you, with one of their donors, you will receive a $100 certificate to purchase Seedling books for your children. You can find out more about that at seedling.com. She says, although we're talking free books here, you should also know that you can purchase Braille books through Seedlings for a cost similar to purchasing the same print book. So if you're looking for Braille book resources, this is definitely the first place to start. National Braille Press Read Books Program. The National Braille Press, along with Seedling, distributes free Braille book bags to families with blind and visually impaired children ages birth to 7 across the U.S. and Canada. Each bag contains a print Braille children's book, a Braille primer for parents, and a tactile toy, info about Braille literacy, and more. All you have to do is fill out the form on their website, and this book bag is a wonderful way for you to learn a little about Braille as well as your child. Again, I know we're talking about free books here, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention the Children's Braille Book Club from National Braille Press. This is not free, but the cost is very reasonable, and there are different options you can choose, either having a book mailed to you once a month for a year or for 6 months, or you can receive a flyer telling you about the book each month. We participate in this for 2 years, and it was wonderful. Many of our absolute favorite books came from this program. Since they are all print Braille picture books, everybody can enjoy them. Now, guess what? Dolly Parton Imagination Library Braille Tales Print Braille Program. Dolly Parton's Imagination Library, or DPIL, has partnered with American Printing House for Blind, Inc., to make many of the wonderful books in her program available in Braille and audio format so that young blind and visually impaired children can also benefit from these wonderful children's books. By enrolling in the Braille Tales Brent Braille Book Program, participating families receive 6 free Braille print Braille books each year until the child reaches his or her 6th birthday. APH selects the titles from the current year's DPIL book list, those most appropriate for a child with a visual impairment. Print Braille versions are mailed directly to the child's family. Books are limited, and enrollment is a first-come, first-serve. So apply now for free print Braille books at dpil.com. That's dpil.com. This thanks to HPH, Dolly Parton's Imagination Library Partnership, and the support of Penguin Group USA. The Accessible Books website also offers a growing collection of audio files of Imagination Library books available as free downloads. I know that we're talking free Braille books here, but I would again be remiss if I didn't mention how much I love Dolly Parton's Imagination Library for print books. This program is amazing. It will send a free book every month to children under the age of 6. If you are located in an area that has a local sponsor that supports the program. We are fortunate to live in an area like in Michigan, and we receive a bunch of favorite children's books from this program. If you have a child under the age of 6, you owe it to yourself and your child to get this information. And FYI, they have that in North Carolina, people. So, again, go to the Dolly Parton website and find out more about her Imagination Station. Great, great books. And again, this story was by Janelle. And again, she used initials for her children, E and R. She is a wife, a stay-at-home mom, master grilled cheese sandwich maker, math geek, and lover of all things chocolate. Like you, I attempt to juggle all the ordinary and extraordinary things that life throws my way. That's what she said. Wonderful. And also, if you want more information about iHealth resources, things about anything involving children that are visually impaired or blind, and you need help for them, you can always reach out to the Accessibility Act, and you can also reach out to HPH. Their number is 1-800-232-5463. That's 1-800-232-5463. You can also reach out to us here at NCRS. Give us a call. We would love to help you as well. And, of course, you can get up with us at 919-832-5138. Our number, again, is 919-832-5138. Or you can get on our website at ncreadingservice.org. Again, that's ncreadingservice.org. Unfortunately, we've run out of time for this edition of Connect to Success. We hope you've enjoyed it. Please come back. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. You're listening to NCRS. I am Shadate Hargett Hill, your hometown girl, and you are listening to Connect to Success. We hope that the information we gave you today will help you to connect to your own success. And we want you to know that you are blessed, and we're happy to be here with you. And again, give us a call at 919-832-5138. See you next time on the radio.